we have a doctor here on staff, a pediatrician, that was in Norway with me at a circumpolar conference, and he slipped, and he hurt his back. And he thought he'd have to be medevaced back to Alaska. And he was still in pain, and Rita came along. And Rita had him lay down. She worked on him on the spot, and he just got up and walked away. And he still tells the story, doctor. And till this day, he's in awe of traditional healing. We have a couple of pediatricians that have had actual experience on themselves.
How does the referral system work?
Well, the referral system is done by the individual patient. We require that. In a lot of places, you can refer yourself. But here, we require patients to get a referral from their primary care provider. And the reason is, that's how we build the bridge between Western medicine ourselves. Because if we didn't do that, we'd be working in two individual little silos, and one hand wouldn't know the other. And this is our opportunity, not so much as to not only work with the patient, but to educate the clinician.
So what would be some of the cases that would come?
We have all cases. We have children, we have elders, we have everybody in between. As Lisa mentioned, there are mental health problems, but there are all kinds. There's cancer. There are people that are in the very beginning of their journey to wellness, and there are people that people have given up, and people have said, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to traditional healing. And everybody in between. There's no typical patient, at least in my mind. Everyone has their own journey, their own story, their own frustrations, their own successes. And the same with the clinicians. The clinicians are a little leery to bring up the topic of traditional healing because every patient reacts differently. Some are real excited and others don't know what it is, so they're a little afraid. But once they get down here and meet us, I've never seen anyone leave.
And, you know, another example of types of people we see here are primarily chronic pain people that Rita and Francis sees, and in the process of them working with them, they'll say, Lisa, you know, they're talking about issues, childhood issues. Can I refer them to you? So it moves from them to me into a deeper, because that's primarily I'm the lead counselor here. And likewise, when I assess someone and evaluate what they need, somewhere they talk about this ache or this pain, I refer them to one of them. So we move back and forth here. A lot of people I see, especially those coming out of treatment or almost going into alcohol drug treatment, say, oh, I've been through one 3 to 5 times. And I keep on talking with them, and I know the root cause. It's always abuse of some kind. So they medicate themselves. And the one thing this young man said was, 5 times I've been through treatment, nobody ever asked me that. And how I do that is I tell a story of myself. And, you know, in your modern medicine world, you don't disclose personal things about yourself. So it's the gift of timing. It's the gift of knowing when to move. I'm able as an elder also to take that role in here and say, you know, you're diabetic and now you have hip trouble and knee trouble and feet trouble, and that's because of your weight. So now we got to look at what are you eating. So I do nutritional counseling. I do prayer when they ask. We do cleansing. We had a patient who was not Native, but he was married to a Native Indian woman, and he wanted cleansing. He was nearing the end of his life. So we went way back somewhere, a beautiful spring, and Buzz drummed his healing song, and I said prayers. And Rita usually smudges because we're somewhere behind the hospital. The birds were singing, fresh air. And he said, I've never had that experience. And he was able somehow, without saying what they were, to release these things that he kept so hurts and angers buried. And he didn't have to name them. It's just the next time I saw him, I said, have to use fictitious names. John, you're smiling. He said, yeah, I feel free and I feel light. You know, there's a connection to hurts emotionally and mentally, even spiritually, and it emerges into something physical among our people. And all of us were hit, you know. You talk about being in orphan or boarding school. Anybody my age, my husband's an example, from age 5, he was in Iklutna. In those days, there were no services like now. I had an elder, he's passed away. When his mother got sick with tuberculosis, his father sent him at, I think he said he was 6 and his brother was 2 years younger, all the way to his church in South Carolina. And this young man couldn't understand the dialect of how Southern people speak, so he got punished a lot. And he swore when he turned 18, he was leaving. And he found ingenious ways to save money, took his brother, and came all the way back to Alaska, back to his roots. So it's deeper, you know. It's my prescription is, I saw a lady who had back trouble, and she was seeing both our other. I asked her, what do you do? Tell me, what do you do when you wake up in the morning? And she could live it. I could see it. Oh, I put on my bathrobe, go to the bathroom, make coffee, and I get my blanket, lay on a couch, and watch TV. And I'd seen her a number of times, so I said, so you focus on your pain. And she sat up. What do you mean? I said, when you're sitting there doing nothing except watch TV, you're feeling your pain, so you're focusing on it. So before you hurt your back, what did you do? I baked, I cleaned. Oh, I did beading. I said, okay, I'll see you in a week. You take all your beading stuff and put it on the table. She had this look of, are you crazy? I'm not going to bead. I can't sit. I said, no, I didn't ask you to bead. Just put them on the table. Look at them. She came back with 2 necklaces, and she ended up out there selling her stuff.